At Giant Eagle, you may have spotted the Stacker. With uncanny MyPerks ability, she stacks up the perks to choose either dollars off or up to 20% off her entire grocery bill. The Stacker, stacking up huge savings with MyPerks. Find your MyPerksonality and transform your shopping into free gas and groceries. Full details at GiantEagle.com/MyPerks. Perks cannot be earned or redeemed on select items. Restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Gail Gibson, accredited master coach, speaker, author, and podcaster. Welcome to my podcast, The Can Do Way. My guests from across the globe have can-do stories of growth, resilience, and success to share. Tune in and be inspired by these individuals who have developed a strong can-do approach. Each one of their stories is unique. Each one of their stories has a key message. Hello, in this episode, I'm talking to Jennifer Urizzo, coach, trainer, author, and podcast host. Now, Jennifer is the founder of Soul Language, a paradigm that puts tangibility to soul so a conscious connection can be established to enable crystal clear decisions for success. Jennifer is also a master intuitive and the author of two best-selling books. Currently, she has trained over 20 practitioners worldwide in soul language. Her clients consistently relate how Jennifer provides an environment where they feel safe to be open and vulnerable. She helps them regain their strength and express their big purpose and mission. Jennifer's even been described as liquid nitrogen because she can see the core of possibilities within everyone's energy field. Wow, we're going to have an explosive conversation then today, I think, Jennifer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here.
Okay, so the first question I'd like to ask you is, can we take a short walk through your life, Jennifer? And if you can give us a glimpse of your background and how you actually arrived at helping individuals resolve the blocks in their creative process so that new opportunities can be received and created.
It's very interesting because nobody starts out doing what they think that they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So I start off as I wanted to be a photographer because I thought, wow, I can feel like there's something big inside of me. There's something that wants to be really creative. And that's all that I knew is to be an artist. And when I got in art school, I realized that wasn't going to work for me. And I started a job in PR, public relations. And that led me into meeting someone who transformed my life, who talked to me about hand analysis. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but I know I need to have it. And that started me on the road to asking really big questions. And those big questions led me to speaking at an event that she was giving. And I heard the answer to the big questions, which was, oh, that's soul language. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but I'm going to keep asking questions. And before long, I had this paradigm that helps people understand in a human sense who they are at the core in their essential nature. So it puts words to the soul and the business soul so people can create this conscious connection. And that had me helping people move from unconscious behavior, which is a block, to conscious behavior. And so it wasn't like a straight road. It was a bunch of windy, up, down, roundabout hills.
That's a great introduction, you know, and I love the fact that you said you tried out different things. You were somebody who was curious, so you looked at photography, you went to art school, you then moved into PR, but it was that moment that you met, as you used those words, I met somebody who was a life transformer and they got me to ask those big questions. So when you met that person, what was perhaps missing in your life, do you think? What had you learned from the experiences that you'd already taken? And then what was it that was holding you back, do you think?
Well, I was really angry. I was angry most of the time. I felt not enough. I knew that there was something bigger inside of me, but I didn't know what that was or how to describe it. And I knew that there had to be something bigger inside of me. I just didn't know how to get there. And I remember, because at the same time I started working with another mentor as well. And I remember the moment that I really transformed from the inside out. I picked up the phone and passed it along to my best friend and the owner of the company. And I heard her go, "That's Jennifer." Yeah, that's Jennifer. Meaning I had transformed so much that the person who would call on a regular basis didn't know it was me, because it happened in every part of me, including my divine voice. And, you know, that not enough is always going to come up for me in one shape, form, or another, because that allows me to choose divinity. It allows me to choose wholeness and completeness, right? But I know now that that isn't who I am at a core level, and that's just me feeling separate. So I think the biggest thing was knowing that I didn't have to fight or make war with everything, but I could really be one with everything. So I think that was the biggest thing.
Such a powerful experience for you. You said you moved from that period of being angry and not feeling that you had that self-worth in life, and yet you knew that there was something different there waiting for you. So what was one of the first things you started to notice about yourself when you were in this transition and it was starting to happen for you?
I think life became easier. Okay. I think worry became less. I think that I began to feel free. I accepted my warrior nature without having to make war with everything. And, you know, as I was doing that, the paradigm of soul language was, you know, being downloaded. And I remember identifying my own soul language called Graceful Warrior and really looking at that and really understanding how I could be more graceful than warrior. And I was sitting having coffee, and this guy sat down and we started talking. And pardon me because I have the hiccups. We started talking and I was like, "Yeah, I've got warrior energy." And he was like, "Oh my God, that's so cool." And I went, "Oh my God, look, there's the reflection of who I am." Uh-huh. And I think that's the biggest thing. The reflection of your life changes, meaning how you feel it in your best moments shows up in your life on a regular basis, mm-hmm. not just, you know, it becomes an everyday thing.
It's like you suddenly, this magic emerged from within you as well. Like you said, you have that warrior and then the graceful part as well. So it was like you were becoming who you were born to be. You were starting to unveil to the world the person that you were inside, and others were seeing this as well. So yeah. You've mentioned as well about the fact that it was a bit of a bumpy road. So we've just explored the fact that you said one of the first things you noticed was that you were becoming you, and you were becoming that person you knew that was inside of you. But how did you get through some of the challenges and perhaps obstacles that you faced learning to embrace this new you, given that you said you'd been angry before? What were some of the challenges that you had to keep overcoming along that bumpy road?
I think the main challenge was choice, right? The choice to choose my life purpose, my connection, my sacred knowing versus pain and programming, right? There, I always tell clients, look, imagine that you're at a train station and the train is coming in. That train is going to Life Lesson 10. That's great. You want to get on that train? No problem. I got condos over there. I got apartment complexes and swimming pools. I got a lot over there. You want to do that? That's fine. But another train is coming as well, and that's life purpose. That's about freedom and bliss. So what train do you want to go on? And I have to continue, and I think everyone does, gets to continually to make that choice. What train do you want to get on? And I think that's the biggest challenge that we get to overcome, which is really programming and allowing yourself to choose rather than slip into that programming.
I love that story of the train. I love the two analogies that you just shared. And I think listeners will also be able to grasp the whole idea of, do you want the glory and the fun and everything else, or do you want something that's a lot deeper and that will sustain you as well? And I think that's such a powerful image for everybody to take away from here. So while you are going on this journey, and as you are still embracing and building and growing, because that is what we do, isn't it? As coaches and in life, we harness our strengths, we unleash the magic within, and we continue to learn. What type of risks would you say that you have taken throughout this new journey of yours? And what have you learned from those risks as a result?
I think the biggest risk is the opening of your heart to love of any kind. You know, recently, about 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, my boyfriend got this dog. And for the first 4 months of three months of him having the dog, I never met the dog because he splits his time between his parents' house and our house. And when I met the dog instantly became my soulmate. And then we went into quarantine, mm-hmm. and the dog came to live with me full time, and I didn't see Warner for over a month. That dog opened my heart so much. And recently she was hit by a car. Mm. And I said to Warner, we have to get another dog. And he's like, I'm not ready. I was like, you don't understand. If we don't, the risk is my heart will close. So 2 weeks ago, Hart, who is actually a relative of our original dog, mm-hmm. came to live with us.
Aww.
And I think that's, yeah, she's precious. And I think that's the biggest risk that people take and have to take, that they have to keep opening their heart. If you want to receive more, if you want to have a bigger practice, healing practice, if you want to be on international stages, then you have to receive more than you give. You, as Joey Garrity would say, a very good friend of mine, you have to fill your love bucket. You have to be willing to be loved profoundly. And there's always a risk in that. And I think so often people want that love. They want to receive the love of the universe. They want to bask in the abundance. But in reality, they're not willing to take the risk. And so they go, why am I not getting what I want? And I think that's always going to be a big challenge for people. And I think the way that you overcome that is really by tuning in and feeling safe. Sometimes you have to walk through the fire. And you really need good support teams, good cheerleaders, and people who've done that path before you. You can't do transformation alone with a book. You need community. And I think that's so important that, you know, so often, you know, I'm a master prayer writer, so I write a lot of prayers for people, and people, I'll go, okay, so what are you asking for? You know, because I think so often we forget that the answers to our prayers 9 out of 10 times is going to be another human being. Mm-hmm. And we spend a lot of time stiff-arming the universe. So I think opening up my heart and opening up everyone's heart is the way to hit any challenge.
That's a beautiful reflection. And thank you for sharing that. And, you know, you showed your vulnerability talking through your story as well of the love that you have and had for your first dog. And now you have given that next level of love to your new four-legged friend in your or part of your family that you have now.
Yes.
I your story resonates so strongly with me. My husband and I had a wonderful dog in our life for 11 years and they just transform your heart. It's probably one of the deepest loves I've ever had in my life. So I was sitting here just reflecting on your story as well. And I think it does resonate so strongly that if we can transfer that love into how we deliver ourselves and how we want to build those relationships with others and show others that it can be done and that you can give fully of yourself, then it is a wonderful starting point and can be a wonderful part of our lives. So how have you seen that transition show up in your client work? Is there an example of somebody you could share with the listeners of that transformation and opening and the vulnerability?
You know, when I identify someone's soul languages, a couple of really unique things happen. One, they always go, oh my God, are you in my head? Not like, are you just in my head, but are you in that part of my head where there's a part of me that knows how great I am and I'm just afraid to show people, right? It's that part of your head or that part of your private self where you know, no one's home and you turn on the music and you dance crazy because you just don't care. And another thing that people often say is, oh my God, I get to accept this. Oh my God, this is a gift. Oh my God, this is like my bus ticket to get whatever I want with the universe. I think by having the words to put what you know deep down inside is extremely powerful for humans. And from there, they can choose, and often do, to show up in exactly that energy. Recently, I was working with a client, and it's an entrepreneur, it's a business client. And we got on the phone, we identified her soul languages, and we did a session, and she had a lot of warrior energy. And I said to her, okay, what are you putting into the energy? She's like, I'm going to divorce my husband. I was like, well, okay. Well, let's just hold back for a second. I go, what are you putting into the energy field between you and him? She's like, well, he doesn't want to move. He doesn't want to change. And I want to change and transform. And he doesn't want to. And I'm like, whoa, why would anyone want to transform or do anything different when you're saying you have to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And a week later, we got on our second session. And she's like, hey, I just wanted to tell you something. I was like, oh, okay. She's like, you saved my marriage. I was like, what? She goes, no, you saved my marriage. She's like, it's changed. I stopped doing that. And they're now co-writing a mystery novel together. And so she's getting the adventure that she wants. And he's responding. And things are really quite amazing. So that's one of the transformational recent ones with clients.
That's a wonderful story and such a timely intervention for you. And I think sometimes neither we or our clients understand the importance of timing, isn't it? And that we have those conversations and they're meant to take place at the time that they do, but we're never fully aware of that. So do you understand what I'm trying to say? You could have had that conversation with her a week later and she may have been divorced by then. She may have got to that critical point and just turned around and said, I don't want any more of this and I'm leaving you and I'm going to go off on this personal quest and make the changes that I'm going to make. But she made a choice to actually work with you in that moment, listen to what you had to say, think about and go away and reflect and look what they unearthed, the opportunity to write this adventure kind of exploration book together and it changed everything. I love those remarkable stories, and thank you so much. You can tell it's ignited in me something very special. So thank you. Thank you very much for sharing.
You're so welcome.
That's beautiful, beautiful. So in your work that you do, we were talking before we came on air there, Jennifer, about the fact that you work with your clients and you work online with people and coach them and train them that way. So while you're doing that, and obviously you have a good amount of work coming in and you have regular clients that you're working with, what do you do to step away from your work and how do you sustain your well-being and look after yourself, that self-care angle that is so vital in our lives?
Well, I'm a master of service, so this is an, and I'm warrior energy. So, you know, this is an area where it took some planning because I can go hours and hours and hours and do more in 15 minutes than most people do all day. And so it took some strategy around that. One of the things I really just love to do is I just love to sit and read. You know, now with the dog, with Roxy, I walked all the time. Mm-hmm. Art will soon be able to take long walks.
Good.
Right. And, you know, I really spend some time being conscious and in sacred practice that also is very, you know, vitality building. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I love British comedies.
Okay.
Love them. I think one of the things that I learned to really support self-care is allowing myself to fall apart. You know, when something really tragic happens, mm-hmm. and last July, my mom's house caught on fire. This too, like the Roxy thing. And, mm-hmm. and you know, what people normally say is, oh my God, you're going to get through this. You're so strong. And it's really sometimes really hard for, and most of my clients will resonate with this, to be the strongest person in the room, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? And so one of the things that I've have learned to do is really allow myself to fall apart. Mm-hmm. And you go, I don't want to be strong. And I just want to be me for a moment. And I don't want to be the spiritual director of soul language or the person that helps people tuned back towards faith and fate and all of that. I just want to sit here and cry for a minute. And I think that's really been powerful in self-care, mm-hmm. Because you don't hold anything in. And it allows me to be a better practitioner because I can say, go ahead, rant, rave, fall apart, do what you need to do. You don't need to be strong. We can do all what you want to feel right here, right now. Then we can talk about turning towards back to your soul and your essential nature and divine and all of that. But let's just go all nasty human for a moment. I think that's really powerful when it comes to self-care.
I definitely agree with you. We have that face, don't we, that as coaches that we are here to help people to move forward in their lives, and they look to us as that part of strength and support and that guide in their lives. But the reality is, as you've just shared, we don't always have to be on our best game, and it's important that we can be vulnerable with ourselves and to release whatever it is that we have to release at times as well. So thank you. Again, the listeners, I'm sure, will take away the fact that I think a lot of people are becoming more brave to the becoming more vulnerable in their lives. And I think a lot of high-named profiled people like Brené Brown and other people like that have really shown people the importance of vulnerability. And you and I, in our own work as well, we help our clients do the same.
Thank you.
So tell me before we go on, what's your favourite British comedy at the moment?
Oh my God. Well, I have to tell you, I love the old ones. Like, I love Are You Being Served?
Okay.
I love Blackadder. you know, I love the IT Crowd, which I can watch until I'm blue in the face. And I love Coupling. I mean, I still watch Coupling and know every word and still laugh. They're just so fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are You Being Served? That's a priceless show. Yes. Fantastic. Sure. It was. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. And so we move now to asking for your three can-do tips that you can leave our listeners with some inspiration, please, Jennifer.
I think the first can-do tip is to pause and ask yourself, if I knew I was whole and complete, loved and supported and provided for, what would I say, what would I do in this situation? I think that allows you to step out of the energy of being in the struggle and allows you to be in consciousness. And as Jennifer Bloom would say, a practitioner of mine, in the consciousness of the solution. So that's the first one. The second one is really to practice when you're safe being vulnerable. That allows you to receive more. And typically, women of service and entrepreneurs really have a hard time being safe, being vulnerable. And it's hard to receive when you have your arms in front of your chest instead of out welcoming. And it's very easy to do. You can use your body's divine intelligence to do that. So it simply looks like this. Divine intelligence, fill me with the feeling and knowing that I'm safe to be vulnerable. And you do that until you can feel your heart opening up. And do that often. And the third one is really to start to know when you're not in your own lane. I think most of us spend a lot of time managing other people's journey and energy, and that slows you down. And it also doesn't allow you to process what you need to process and what you need to do. So those are my three tips.
Fantastic. And so practical for anybody to be able to take away, to pause, to practice. And I love the third one about making sure that you step back into your own lane. That can be the fast lane, the slow lane, whatever lane you need, but making sure it's your lane and nobody else's at the time. Thank you so much, Jennifer. So my final question for you is, why do you feel a can-do attitude is absolutely essential?
Because if you start from the place of that you can't do it, everything is a reflection of who you are. And so that's what you're going to keep propelling forward. If you go, I can do it, you know, I have a can-do attitude. Well, half the battle is already done because you're now in the energy of flow. So I think that's why it's really important.
Beautiful. Thank you. And what a wonderful end to what has been a absolutely delightful last half hour and a lot very heartfelt and a very deeply personal conversation with you. And I'm sure that the listeners will take away some fantastic ways of thinking. They'll be reflecting on perhaps what vulnerability means to them as well, and maybe asking themselves some big questions so that they can feel that love and allow themselves to be vulnerable and to reveal their true selves as well. So thank you so much, Jennifer, for joining me on the Can Do Way podcast today.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Do you live and breathe a can-do attitude? Have an inspiring perspective, a life-changing experience, or intriguing story to share? Always curious and with an insatiable appetite for a good yarn, I invite you to be my guest. Do get in touch via my website, gailmgibson.com. The Can Do Way podcast, refreshing, positive, and real.